Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
US President Donald Trump has imposed steep tariffs on exports from dozens of trading partners, including Canada, Brazil, India and Taiwan, pressing ahead with his plans to reorder the global economy ahead of today's trade deal deadline. He set rates including 35% duty on many goods from Canada, 50% for Brazil, 25% for India, 20% for Taiwan, 39% for Switzerland, according to a presidential executive order. For more on this, I am joined by Danny Hewson, Head of Financial Analysis at AJ Bell, Marco Forgione, the Director General of the Chartered Institute of Export and International Trade. I want to begin, though, with Jack Parrock, a freelance journalist based in Brussels. It is August 1st this morning. Jack, the dust was supposed to have settled on all of this, but not surprisingly, there's still an awful lot of confusion. Can you try and paint the big picture for us, please?
I'll do my best. So we know now that this executive order is giving at least EU and other partners another 7 days, essentially, to try and negotiate the deals of what these tariffs are meaning. Last week, we saw the US President Donald Trump and the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen sign off on a trade deal for the European Union, which set a blanket sweeping tariff of 15% of pretty much all products the European Union exports into the United States. They sort of claimed it as a good deal, a great deal. But a lot of European leaders have been very, very upset about what this means and how it's going to skew their markets. Also, because it's a unilateral tariff, the US products coming into the European Union are not going to be hit by a blanket tariff in the same way. Now, what we've seen with this executive order is that it gives a little bit more time for the EU and the US to issue what we're expecting now, which is a joint statement, which is to try and say exactly how the details of that deal works. Now, that's the EU context. On the other side, Trump's really moved on, like you said, to other countries, and especially the ones that he's politically frustrated with. For instance, Canada, he's got a sort of burgeoning rivalry with the new prime minister there, Mark Carney, and he's slapped them with a 35% tariffs, big tariffs for other global players as well. And everybody's trying to scramble to work out exactly, like you said, how is this going to reorder the global economy?
And very often those tariffs don't really seem to be about trade so much as other political beefs that he has with them, like the trial of his good political friend and ally, Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, has earned that country a 50% tariff.
Yeah, exactly. And the Canada issue is also about how Canada positions itself related to the statehood of Palestine. That's one of the things that he's frustrated with and has been talking about. When it comes to the European side, and that's really where the big economic issue is as well, obviously the two big trading blocks of the world, there's a big question about what the EU has handed over in this sense as we wait for this week of negotiations, because the deal also included purchasing and investments. The EU agreed to buy $750 billion worth of energy until the end of Trump's term in office. Also, what Trump called massive, vast amounts of military hardware as well. What exactly that means, we don't know. And as I say, we're waiting for this joint statement between the EU and the US that they now have a bit more time to pen, and European leaders are going to have a bit more time to pressure to get certain issues in. For instance, there's also the issue of the 0% tariffs. There are going to be some exemptions for Europeans. And the French wine sector, for instance, is very keen that they have zero tariffs going into their exports to the United States. The deal was signed back in Scotland and they made a big pomp and ceremony about it. Trump seems to have moved on entirely to his other sort of tariffs targets. But there is still a lot of information we just don't know. And we don't know how it's going to work. And EU industries are really worried about that.
And on his other tariffs targets, it started with China. Where are we at, or where is he at in a deal with them?
Well, the big issue is that the Chinese just really have very, very tight-lipped on many of those issues. So that's a really complicated discussion as well. And that also is heavily political.
Okay, Jack Parrock, freelance journalist, thank you very much. Danny Hewson is the head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. How are the markets reacting to today's news, Danny?
They're flashing red in reaction to today's news. Look, I think a lot of investors had really cottoned onto this phrase, taco trade, when it comes to Donald Trump and tariffs.
Trump
which
always
for
chickens out.
Trump always chickens out, absolutely. He responded to being asked about it by telling the journalist in the White House that was a nasty question. I think he certainly didn't want to be accused of it this time around. So I think investors had been maybe thinking that this August 1st deadline might be extended again to the 1st of September, 1st of October. So yeah, we are seeing big falls today. Just to give you some indication, the stock 600 is set for its biggest 1 week fall in 4 months. Back then, of course, it was associated with Liberation Day when Donald Trump first delivered his tariff numbers. We're also seeing the Asian markets similarly looking for their biggest weekly loss since April. But when you look generally, you look at the MSCI All Country World Index, which is a sort of mashup of global shares. When you compare them where they are now with where they were when they hit bottom on the 7th of April, they're up 28.4%, although in the past four sessions they have dipped, but it just shows how resilient markets have been.
On Monday, it was being reported after that deal on Sunday evening in Scotland that the markets were rebounding because at least they felt there was going to be some certainty. Are those investors looking a little bit foolish now at this end of the week?
It's been really difficult for investors to sort of fathom what on earth Donald Trump was going to do, because although, yeah, absolutely, they have responded to the certainty of a number of deals being made by making bets on where to place their money. And in many cases, those bets have been accurate. So if you look at some of the big moves that we've seen over the past week, particularly with US stocks, we've seen Microsoft enter the $4 trillion club along with Nvidia. We've seen some really big earnings updates from those mega cap stocks, which have really bolstered sentiment in the United States. And if you look at markets, although we're having this wobble today, it's less of a wobble than we saw in April. And if you compare markets now with where they were on the 2nd of April, you know, the FTSE 100's up more than 5%. The NASDAQ is up 20%. The S&P up almost 12%. So markets are resilient. So I think really investors are, they're feeling the warmth, but they're not feeling the heat in the same way as they were back in April.
We've a particular interest in this country in pharma, particularly those pharmaceutical companies that trade into the United States. And President Trump has written to drug companies overnight, putting pressure on them for their prices, over their prices. How have the markets reacted to that?
Yeah, I mean, drug makers have really taken a hit after those letters were sent out. So looking at the healthcare index, the SXDP, it's down 1.5%, its lowest since April. So just some of those names that you were talking about. London-listed AstraZeneca was down 3.5%, GSK down 1.7%, Eli Lilly down almost 3%, Novo Nordisk down almost 5%, though, of course, that had a profit warning earlier this week, which has also impacted investor sentiment. I think investors have been expecting some kind of further move on pharmaceuticals. They've already been put on notice that this is likely to happen. But of course, whenever you get a move, investors get rattled.
Danny Hewson, thank you very much for that analysis. So from the granular to perhaps a slightly bigger picture, Marco Forgione is the Director General of the Chartered Institute of Export and International Trade. Very good morning to you, Marco. Marco, does all of this ultimately amount to an unpicking of the rules-based order of trade?
Philip, you're spot on. What President Trump is doing here is using the tools of trade leverage to very deliberately unpick the global multilateral system, the system that's grown up over the last 50 years that President Trump feels has absolutely worked against the best interests of the US. So he's coming in with an America First policy. He's trying to rewrite the rules of global trade and, more importantly, to unpick multilateralism so that the US is at the very peak of power and influence internationally.
Gaze into your crystal ball then and tell me where all of this goes.
continued uncertainty, and President Trump is very clearly using uncertainty and surprise as part of his manoeuvring to force nations to the table, and very directly, as you saw with the letters to pharma companies, direct communication to the leaders of international businesses to force them to not just change their policies, but to also drive them to invest in the US and derive manufacturing into the US. So this is every tool being used in an effort to, as you described, deliberately unpick that multilateral global system.
Does it appear to you that anybody who was hoping at the beginning of this week, particularly in Europe, that a little bit of uncertainty had been re-injected into things, is just going to have to recalculate their or reorient their compass completely towards a new Northern Star of just permanent uncertainty?
Well, I think we are going to have a long period now of uncertainty and instability. But as was described in the Irish Trade Forum this morning, the EU, the UK, have more certainty than many others. You know, we've got the terms, the framework for arrangement and for deals, which allows businesses now to take decisions on how they're going to trade with the US, but more importantly, to look at where else they're going to have to grow their markets. And this is particularly relevant, of course, for Irish businesses.
Okay, but if you were Canadian, there was a time not that long ago that you were thought you were looking at certainty in your relations with the United States. Can I get your reaction then to this use of the cross-border flow of fentanyl by Donald Trump to justify the imposition of a new tariff rate there? Is this another example, to your mind, of how countries are powerless to challenge this narrative coming from the White House? Because Canada apparently accounts for just 1% of the illegal fentanyl imports into the US?
Yes, but this is part of President Trump's tactic. He will use what seem to be spurious arguments and cases, you know, talking about fentanyl and the precursors of fentanyl. But this is very clearly much more of a personal thing between President Trump and Prime Minister Carney. You know, there is a real antipathy between the two. But what's clear with President Trump is he will blow up and flare up on issues like this if he feels that that elicits a positive response from the counterparty. He's willing to you know, let the emotions pass and get down to doing a deal. At the moment, though, it seems that Mark Carney isn't in a mood just roll over and concede, and is very actively now looking at alternatives to the trade with the US.
Marco Forgione, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Coming up after the break, antisocial behaviour on Dublin buses.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.